notice how we tend to think of our bodies as these ancient, finished designs? But over the last 10,000 years, our evolution has actually been running on absolute overdrive. It is basically a genetic sprint. We're looking at a groundbreaking study from the journal Nature. Ancient DNA reveals pervasive directional selection across West Eurasia, and it shows our DNA has been shifting rapidly to keep up with massive lifestyle changes. Wait, so we're talking about hundreds of genetic tweaks just since the dawn of farming? How did we even map this?
Picture a time machine, but instead of gears and dials, it is built from 15,000 ancient genomes. We are talking about a massive genetic dataset spanning 18,000 years that researchers used to do something incredible: catch natural selection in the act. 15,836 ancient genomes? That is a massive jump from earlier studies. But how do you actually separate true Darwinian selection from, say, a massive wave of migration?
Instead of trying to map out every single migration route, they asked a different question. They used a new statistical model that treats the entire population like a massive, interconnected web of relatives. By measuring how genetically similar every single person is to everyone else, creating a giant genetic relationship matrix, they can test if a gene's rise was a steady, consistent trend over time, or just a random side effect of people moving around.
And when they co-analyzed those ancient genomes with over 6,400 modern ones, what did this model actually pull out of the data? It mapped a surprisingly busy landscape of adaptation. They estimated selection coefficients for a staggering 9.7 million genetic variants. While classic dramatic sweeps are rare in our history, they uncovered hundreds of specific alleles under strong, active directional selection in just the last 10,000 years. That is an absolute goldmine. We are not just guessing based on modern genomes anymore. We are actually watching West Eurasians adapt in real time. And looking at the specific genes, the stories are just wild. Take celiac disease. There's a variant in the HLA-DQB1 gene that is the single biggest risk factor for celiac today. Carriers have a 19-fold higher susceptibility, and its frequency skyrocketed from basically 0 to 20% in just the last 4,000 years.
A genetic variant that makes us sick today was actually actively selected for in our past? That feels completely upside down.
It seems completely backward, but back then, it likely protected against a devastating ancient pathogen. The researchers estimated a selection coefficient of 4.4%. In evolutionary terms, that is an absolute sprint, meaning the pressure to adapt was incredibly high. And it is not alone. Look at our ABO blood types.
Ah, blood types. Picture a cellular coat of arms, where the sugars on our cells act as shields or entry points for different bugs. So changing those coats was a matter of life and death?
And the wild part is, over the last 6,000 years, the allele for blood type B climbed from basically 0 to 10%, while blood type A took a hit. These shifts really intensified in the Bronze Age, as human lifestyles transformed. We are talking new agricultural diets, massive population growth, and living right next to domesticated animals, which brought a whole wave of new diseases. So our modern food sensitivities and immune quirks are basically the evolutionary hangover of surviving early farming? Spot on. Yesterday's lifesaver is today's chronic condition.
Imagine a dusty biology textbook. Inside, there's a comforting story. Some devastating genetic diseases persist because carrying just one copy of the bad gene secretly protected our ancestors from a different killer. It is a neat, satisfying trade-off. But when we look at the actual physical archive of human history, those tidy stories start to crumble.
You're talking about the classic cystic fibrosis hypothesis, right? The standard narrative is that the mutation survived because it gave carriers a hidden shield against cholera. I mean, that's been taught as evolutionary gospel for decades.
It has. But when we shine a genetic searchlight back through West Eurasian history, the data doesn't back it up. The researchers tracked the major risk allele, Delta F508, through thousands of ancient individuals, and they found a selection coefficient of exactly zero. The probability that directional selection was actively pushing this gene up during the era of cholera? Under 1%. Under 1%? That is a total reality check for a legendary theory. If this gene was a shield during endemic cholera outbreaks, we should have seen a clear, steady rise. But instead, what? Just flat? It's just a flat line. The mutation was there. They spotted it directly in a sample from Croatia dating back about 6,500 years and imputed it even further back to 15,000 years ago in Anatolia. But it just drifted. It shows we have to trade our neat evolutionary fairy tales for what the physical DNA actually tells us.
Okay, here's the thing. When we think of evolution, we often picture a single massive mutation sweeping through a population, like a superhero origin story. But this study shows that for traits like body fat or skin tone, natural selection wasn't just pulling one big lever. It was nudging hundreds of tiny ones in the exact same direction.
Picture a choir. Instead of one soloist screaming, you have hundreds of singers slightly raising their pitch together. To measure this, researchers use what's called a polygenic score, basically a weighted genetic scorecard that sums up the tiny effects of thousands of different DNA variants to predict a single trait. They tracked these scorecards over 10,000 years. What did they actually find? They saw massive coordinated shifts. Take skin tone. The polygenic score for lighter skin pigmentation increased by 1.8 standard deviations over those 10 millennia. While individual genes like SLC45A2 did a lot of the heavy lifting, the signal was incredibly polygenic. They had to drop the top 79 loci before the selection signal even disappeared.
That is a massive shift. And it wasn't just skin tone. They also found a strong signal of negative selection on body fat percentage, dropping by 1.04 standard deviations over that same period, which actually aligns with the thrifty gene hypothesis. Storing fat was great for surviving famines as hunter-gatherers, but once agriculture stabilized food, that genetic pressure started to reverse.
Picture a high-tech smartphone running a modern app to track your bank account. If you took that code and looked at it thousands of years ago, before banks even existed, the code wouldn't make any sense. That is the massive hurdle we run into when we look at how genetics shaped ancient minds. The study actually looked at massive packages of gene variants that, in people today, predict things like cognitive performance and even psychiatric conditions.
Wait, so we can actually see these genetic packages changing over the last 10,000 years? Because looking at the data, they found a drop in predicted schizophrenia risk with a score of minus 0.74 and a pretty substantial rise in predictors for things like intelligence and years of schooling. But how on earth do you measure years of schooling in a pre-literate society?
You don't. That is the catch. We are using genetic templates built from modern, industrialized populations, specifically the UK Biobank, and projecting them backward. It is not that ancient Eurasians were evolving to get better SAT scores. It's that those same genetic networks might have done something entirely different, but equally useful in a Bronze Age environment.
Right. And the strange part is how interconnected these traits are today. The paper notes that the alleles driving down type 2 diabetes risk are highly correlated with the ones linked to higher scores for intelligence and household income. It's this incredibly tangled web. It really is. It shows us that evolution isn't selecting for our social categories. It is tuning deep biological dials, like energy regulation or brain wiring. We just happen to see the modern downstream effects and call them schooling or income. But for a long time, the consensus was that human evolution had basically plateaued. We rarely saw these hard sweeps where a helpful mutation just races through the whole population to fixation. It seemed like we were coasting. But then this study comes along and drops a bombshell. They found hundreds of cases of strong directional selection in just the last 10,000 years. It's basically finding out that a bicycle we thought was slowly coasting is actually accelerating down a steep hill.
Exactly. And that creates a massive paradox. If natural selection has been working this hard and this fast for a long time, our genomes should be full of fixed mutations. We should look completely different from other ancient groups. But we don't. There are only a handful of those fixed differences. So how do we square that circle? If selection is so pervasive now, why hasn't it locked those traits in place over the long haul?
The researchers found two big answers. First, those evolutionary pressures aren't constant. By sliding a 2,000-year window through their data, they saw selection coefficients switching directions, like a tug of war. What was beneficial 5,000 years ago might actually be harmful today.
Ah, so evolution is constantly changing its mind as our environments change.
Yes, and the second reason is that the Holocene, the last 10,000 years, was uniquely chaotic. Agriculture, domesticating animals, moving into dense Bronze Age cities, it brought a barrage of new diets and deadly pathogens. We've been adapting to a world we completely remade.
If we step back, what this really shows us is that our genome isn't a static monument. It's basically a dusty ledger of our survival, constantly being edited as we adapted to new diets, new climates, and new crowds. Which leaves us with this massive puzzle. We can track the changes, but we still don't fully understand what those traits actually felt like, or how they helped people get by day to day back then. It means the story is still very much alive, right inside us. Until next time.